The company was out at an alarm. I looked around the building, which had been built during the Jimmy Walker era. The front of the house was the house watch area. There was a hole in the wall that led to another apparatus floor, those huge spaces in the main floor where the engines and trucks parked, that housed two more companies, Engine 73 and Squad 2, but it was a different building built in the early 1900s. I walked the latter company's apparatus floor looking at the slightly tarnished pole where men would descend from the bunk room on the second floor, where in a couple of years I would be praying for a couple of hours of sleep in a war zone. Boots, helmets, and coats were neatly stored in the rear of the apparatus floor. I glanced at their equipment. I saw tar with stains of fire on helmets and coats. You could tell their boots had been heavily used. This is what I wanted, a busy house. I had to prove myself to my coworkers, myself, and mainly my dad. I went up to the third floor and changed into my fire gear. I was assigned a locker when I first came to quarters, and I reported to the captain. As I was changing, I heard two companies returning, Engine 73 and Ladder 42. The men jumped off the rigs and took control of the traffic as the rigs backed in. The ladder truck took up the whole four-lane road. It was a tractor-trailer rig with two drivers. One man would drive from the cab in the front, and the other, the tiller, had a wheel in the rear that helped steer the truck around corners. It brought back memories of going with my dad to his firehouse and sitting in the tiller, which he drove. They must have a hard time getting that big rig in such a little opening, I thought. I didn't know then that I, like many of the men in the company, would soon be driving both ends of the apparatus. I went down to meet the men and met approximately half of the company that night. It was a 25-group rotating system. There were four groups with six men in each group. There was a single slot, number 25. We worked two-day tours, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and were off one day. We'd work 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. for two nights and be off 3 days. I first put my brand new coat, boots, and helmet with an orange probationary patch on an empty bar on the rack. They stood out like sore thumbs. I hoped they'd have that combat look shortly. I walked into the kitchen and eating room, a back room about 9 feet wide and 15 feet long. The sinks were on the left. A long, skinny table was in the middle. Benches were on both sides, and the stove was in the rear. "A Proby," one of the fellows yelled. "The new dishwasher," another bellowed. "Do you cook?" They were excited. There had been few Probies in the previous few years. "I finally got off the can," another yelled. The can he was talking about was a water fire extinguisher the junior man carried along with a 6-foot hook. He would be accompanied by a firefighter with an axe and claw tool and an officer. They constituted the forcible entry team. The men showed me where we put our gear, including my 6-foot hook and water fire extinguisher, on the truck. By the way, I carried the can for about 2 years until a new man was assigned to the company. I felt the same enthusiasm I'd seen in the Brooklyn firehouse. I'd finally made it. I had found the job I was looking for and the type of men I wanted to work with. I was ready to see some fire duty, and I knew one of the men. Fireman Knorr was from my neighborhood. He's still in the department now as assistant chief. The officer I worked with that night was Lieutenant Mack, a small built man of Irish descent. We talked for a while, and I learned he and my father had worked together. He was very happy I had my father's badge. He told me never to leave his side. He knew his stuff and was intent on teaching me everything he possibly could. I felt as if I had my father training me. He was a good man and an excellent trainer and boss.